Berger, president of Capstone Marketing. I am happy to be talking today with Nicole Sterling, director of marketing and communications for RSW Accounting and Consulting and the 2017 Association for Accounting Marketing Volunteer of the Year. If you've been to AIM's website in the past year, you've no doubt seen Nicole's and her committee's efforts firsthand, from the new profile badges to launching the marketer's library to building new sections and functionality. She's constantly finding ways to maximize the ways to use accountingmarketing.org, AIM Connect, and the AIM portal. Nicole's most recent project was leading the efforts with the blog subcommittee to launch AIM's new blog. Congratulations, Nicole, on being named AIM's Volunteer of the Year.
Thank you so much. It's a great honor.
Well, AIM is I know, is an organization that we both know and love, so everyone appreciates your efforts.
Yes, I've been involved with AIM for quite a while now, and it's an amazing group of people that you get to work with. So
tell me, you're obviously very into the industry and accounting marketing and your network. What is your thought about the greatest challenge in marketing CPA firms?
I think the greatest challenge is definitely trying to push to continuously be innovative for our firms and spark creativity in the workplace. As a marketer, we have to sell our creative ideas and keep innovation moving along. And our partners don't always grasp the creative side of things that are needed to support growth in a firm. And I think you really have to be able to get that idea across to them on why it's so important to do it in a specific way and keep those new ideas moving.
Mm-hmm. So how do you do that? So you have this new idea that you want to propose. What's your strategy or process with your partners?
I'm very direct. I guess growing up in New York, you become that way. But I will actually lay it out fully in like an outline for them on what the benefits, the cons, what any problem would be that they might encounter and why they should do it a specific way, why I believe it should be done that way. And I will sit down at the partners meeting with them in the beginning and let them just ask questions and fire away at me on why they should do it this way. And I feel like if I can get it across to everyone at the same time so they completely understand why it has to go this way and not another way, then the acceptance level will be there.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, because it is important to get their buy-in, right? And we have to kind of put ourselves in their shoes, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
so we can imagine how they are receiving what we're trying to tell them.
Well, yeah, they're not always, you know, they're there for the numbers and the analytics part of the job, and I'm there to be the creative side. So sometimes they don't necessarily always see what I'm trying to do or why I'm trying to do things a certain way. I had an instance where we were looking at packaging for estate planning, and they kept telling me you cannot make packages for estate plans. And when I mapped it out and showed them that we could, the light bulb went on for all of them, and they were just, yeah, that aha moment happened.
Right. So you try to make it visual for them so they could actually see what you're describing.
Exactly. I feel like people are both, you know, the analytical and the visual side, so I try to put both when I present mm-hmm. something to them so that anybody that needs the visual aid for it will see it laid out very clearly, but also all of the detail will be there for the people that need that type of information also.
Right. That's great advice. So think about the last 5 years or so. What are the biggest changes that you've noticed in accounting marketing?
Oh, it's definitely digital marketing, the web, the technology, the use of the data that we gather from these technologies, and the efforts that we do, social media, the different social media channels that have come about and have gotten really more widely used in the accounting marketing area, blogs, webinars, videos on websites, videos on, you know, YouTube channels and things like this. We've vastly changed the way that we market our services in the accounting industry
mm-hmm.
in the last 5 years, for
right.
sure.
So Tell me how, so what has been the reaction of your partners in your firm with this whole shift to digital and social? Do they understand, you know, the part that plays in your whole mix?
They didn't at first. I will be honest. I kind of had to pull them along by their hair a little bit to get them to see. Because, again, this isn't what they're trained to do, right? They're trained to make sure that, you know, they analyze the numbers and the figures, and this is my job. So in the beginning, they didn't see the need for social media. Why would we have, you know, a video testimonial? Why would we, you know, do webinars? They didn't get the concept of it. And over time, they started to see the value in it, and now they really see the value in it. So it just took time to get them to understand why an accounting firm would use, you know, Facebook or have a LinkedIn page. For them, it seemed like a waste of time almost in the beginning, and now they're constantly sending me things to feed those social media channels. So
there you go. And I would have to think they trust you in what you're suggesting, you know, what you're recommending that the firm do.
I believe. I mean, obviously, the only way for a marketer to really hold their weight in a firm is to become a trusted advisor. Just as these guys are trusted advisors to their clients, I have to be a trusted advisor to them. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the way that we play our role, at least in our firm here in Montreal in Canada. I don't advise them how to do an audit, nor would they want me to. But again, the same goes. They don't try to advise me on how marketing should be done. They know I understand it, and I just have to make them understand why we have to do things a certain way.
Right. That's an excellent point. So each person is working towards their skills. So they've got the trust in you, and you have the trust in them. That's a perfect situation.
Yeah, if your partners don't trust you as the marketer, or, you know, and you don't trust your partners to help you along as a marketer, the relationship is going to be broken. It's going to be very hard to be successful in anything that you do at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So then
let me jump a bit, because this is dovetailing into a question about the skills or factors that enable accounting marketers to be successful. So clearly I'd have to think that your response about their becoming trusted advisors in their firms is one of those factors.
Yeah, definitely. You have to gain their trust, and the only way to gain their trust is to earn it. You have to show what you know, that you know it's going to be successful. Here's the reasons why, A, B, C, whatever. But you need to make them just as you would in any valued relationship with a client, you need to gain their trust, and they need to look at you as that advisor that they can go to with any kind of issue or problem they might have. Mm-hmm. As marketers, we're answering our partners' pain points within their business, right? There's a problem. Right. They need us to figure out how to bypass it, to fix it, to make it better. So they have to trust me, and I have to trust them in order for the relationship to fully work.
Right. So what other skills or factors would you say enable marketers to be successful?
I think marketers have to be able to, like, step forward and not be afraid to take a risk. I think you need to know your strengths and weaknesses and be able to embrace your limitations. You can't know everything there is to know about marketing. There's nobody that does, but you have to be able to say, I know where I'm limited, and you reach out to your colleagues, your network, whoever it may be, and say, this is not an area of my expertise, but I know it's yours. What's the course of action we should go about?
Mm-hmm.
You need to be able to embrace those limitations.
Right, and that's where AIM plays such a big role for all of us.
It's amazing the amount of unbelievably knowledgeable people I've met in so many different areas of marketing through AIM.
Right, and a willingness to share. I think AIM has always been like that you meet people and they are more than willing to share information with you and what they've done.
Oh, definitely. And there's definitely people within AIM that become mentors to you, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And you wind up mentoring other people that you meet along the way. And it's not a formal relationship. It's just you've created this bond, this relationship, and you feel comfortable enough to ask them questions or they feel comfortable enough to ask you.
Right.
It's a great opportunity to really enhance your skills, too. I've learned
right.
so much since I've been really involved with AIM. So.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So which one of your personal skills contributes most to your success?
I would have to say I think it's my ability to listen and to pinpoint what needs are when I'm sitting down, and I need to listen with both ears and find out exactly where that pain point is, and whether that's with my partners or the billable hours that I do in my firm with clients. It's the ability to listen and pick up on what it is and then determine a course of action, if you will. I'm also very driven, so I'm not often afraid to step outside of the box and kind of drag my colleagues and partners along with me to try new things. You have to try new things and take risk in order to be successful. And I'm also not afraid to give my opinion and share my ideas. I am very passionate about things and very hyper-organized.
I can tell that just from the sound and the tone of your voice.
I am hyper-organized, which also helps me ensure like details are taken care of. So sometimes that scares people, but it's just how I am. But, yeah, I think those would be the skills that have made me successful.
Right. That's great. So how can marketers gain more power or influence within their firms?
Again, I know this was for me, I think marketers have to prove their worth to their partners, show them that they know what they need to do and what they are going to do for the firm, and win their trust. Just as I said before, any other advisor would do. If you want to have a long-term relationship with a client, you need to be a trusted advisor to them. And I think that's what marketers need to be within their firm, to their partners and their managing partner. And at the same time, I think you have to go and ask for a seat at that table. And at that table means like the partners table when they're having their meetings. We're not CPAs. I have a business degree on top of my marketing degree, so I do understand the mindset of a CPA. I've taken accounting in university and gone through, three years of accounting. But a lot of times we don't understand each other. Marketers and CPAs don't necessarily toe along the same lines. We don't understand what the other one is doing in the business. And the only way to understand the full picture of what's happening is to have a seat at that table, and I think you need to ask for that.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point because I think all of us need to have our own goals and what we want to achieve and to figure out what do we need to do to achieve that overall goal and to make it happen for ourselves and not to be waiting around for somebody else to make it happen.
It's definitely you don't want to wait around and make it happen, like wait for somebody else to make it happen for you. But also I think now, especially in these times, marketers are often hybrids into different roles in the firm. So my role in the firm, not only do I do marketing, but I cross over into HR and business development. So I need to have that seat at the table to get a full picture of what's happening in the firm in order to reevaluate our strategies on a continuous basis. If you're not revisiting those, you're not being innovative, and you're
right.
not making sure that things are going up properly according to the plans. You have to constantly adjust your plan according to what's happening at the time. So,
mm-hmm. Right. So earlier we talked about in the past 5 years, the focus on digital and data and social. So think 5 years into the future, what's your prediction for accounting marketing?
I think that a lot of the accounting marketing is going to be advisory services and specializations. Niche marketing, if you will be a huge part of firm innovation and helping. It's all a way to help you differentiate yourself from the competition, if you will. And the advisory services, I think people and businesses are not just only looking for compliance services, but they're looking for somebody to help them grow their business and show them what they need to do in order to be successful and to have the right amount of money for when they exit out of that business and retire. So they're looking for that value add from their accountants and their advisors, if you will. And if you're trusted in that relationship with the client, they're going to come to you and ask you, do you know somebody that does these services? And at that point, if you can say, we do, then, you know, that's a win-win for both of you.
Right, absolutely, especially with all we're reading about artificial intelligence and blockchain and robots auditing. You know, we need to, you know, be preparing for these technological changes and determine what will the role of the CPA be in the future.
Exactly. And as a marketer, you have to determine with those changes how you're going to market those types of things. If a robot comes into your company and is now, you know, working within there to do audits or an HR or whatever it may be doing, how do you market that? How do you let people know that you're that innovative of a firm, that you're doing things differently in order to, you know, cut time down and to be more, I don't know, precise with things.
Right.
So you have to constantly look at how you're going to market these things that are happening within the industry.
So what is your best piece of advice for accounting marketers?
Again, I think you need to know your strengths and weaknesses and be able to look at those and be honest about them. You have to you can't always be the best at everything that you set out to do. It's just not a possibility. So I think that when you embrace that and you can know the point to go and ask a colleague or a network, somebody you know have in your network, for advice or help, then I think that is the best way for you to become better with what you do.
Mm-hmm. And what would your best piece of advice be for managing partners?
I think the best advice for them, it's kind of a two-pronged thing, but to look forward into the future, look 5 years, 10 years down the road and where the industry may be going, and try new things. But at the same time, you have to embrace failure. Nobody wants to fail, right? But when you fail, it's your first attempt in learning something. So you need to be able to, no marketing campaign the first time you do it, unless you get super lucky, is 100% successful. You have this, you know, ROI, and the next time you look at it, you want to improve it. So it might not have happened the best way the first time, but you have to look at that that quote unquote failure as a learning process. And I think that's what managing partners have to do. Sometimes success can be a lousy teacher. When you're successful, people often keep doing the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
It works once, it'll work again. And that's the slippery slope, because it doesn't teach you how to be inventive. And survival today requires that you do more than just tread water. You need to constantly be changing in order to stay ahead of the competition.
Right. I liked particularly that term you used of embracing failure.
Yeah, you definitely have to embrace it. It is a four-letter word, but, you know, like, you fail, it's a four-letter word, but it's not a bad one. You're learning from it.
Right. I would agree, because I always feel that if we're not making mistakes, we're not trying to do anything different. It's just like you said, we're just doing the same thing over and over again because we know how to do it.
And if you stay stagnant too long, you become stale and obsolete. You have to constantly reinvent yourself, reinvent your firm, and do things differently in order to stay ahead of the competition.
Absolutely. Well, we've been talking today with Nicole Sterling, Director of Marketing and Communications for RSW Accounting and Consulting and AIMS 2017 Volunteer of the Year. Nicole, congratulations again.
Oh, thank you so much, Jane. It was great talking to you.